Thank you. Thank you. Man, I've been formally welcomed tonight. I've got a double portion welcome. LD, it's good to see you here tonight. This is the first time I've been back here since I lost my dear friend and your pastor, and it's kind of a strange feeling to be here and him not be here. I was on an airplane the other day. Gail and I were flying back from Florida, and there was a guy on the front row, and I swore it was Pete, Pastor Dosik. Even though he's in heaven, I've got to still respect. And I about lost it. I mean, I'm sitting there, I said, it looks like Pete, Pastor Dosik's on the front row over there. And Gail looked, and said, yeah, it does look like him. And it's like coming, as I know you have had to deal with this, it's for me coming to the realization that he's not here, he's in heaven. And I'm here to lift you up and encourage you, but it's Pastor Dosik and I didn't talk every week or every other day. Sometimes weeks, maybe even months would go by, and we wouldn't interact or talk or whatever, but it was like when we would, it was like we'd seen each other the day before. So it's a very surreal feeling right now to be here and him not be here, but yet all the fingerprints of his ministry and who he was on this earth still reside within the house. Our church has been praying for the family, for your church, and I'm just thankful for all the great things that God is continuing to do. Tomorrow night, I'm going to preach on seven keys to enlargement. Seven keys to enlargement. As you realize, I preach a word that has chapters. And so I'm going to hit you with the first chapter of this tonight. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to conclude this message on seven keys to enlargement. Because I believe you're in a season that God is going to bring supernatural increase and supernatural growth for a new season that God is bringing to the church. This is a message that I'm going to preach tonight, though I told Pastor Nicole and Pastor Phyllis before I came out, I said, I'm going to speak to this church as a father, and I'm going to speak to you as a father in the Lord. I don't think there has been anybody that has preached more meetings than I have in this church. I have been coming here since 1985 every year, and sometimes multiple times a year, and I'm not a guest speaker. I am in relationship with this house, whether you see me or you don't. But I prayed, naturally as I would, and the Lord said, here is the word that I want you to deliver. And part of that word is where I'll be going tomorrow night. But there's some things I've got to say to you tonight that I believe are pivotal that you need to tuck into your spirit to help continue to empower you for this new season. There will be some things that I say are probably nothing but confirmations to things that have already been preached. But if they are a confirmation, then accept the fact that God is speaking this word to the church. So I'm going to approach things a little differently tonight than maybe I would in a normal meeting in times gone by. But this is a different season. This is a different time. And I want you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit will say to the church. Are you ready? Well, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint every ear to hear, every mind to perceive, and every heart to believe. God, pour fresh oil on my head tonight, that nothing but the articulate Holy Ghost word comes out of my mouth. For Lord, I believe that every man and every woman that are here need to hear this word, and it will help this people to move forward into a greater season than they have ever seen before. And God, I thank you, and I declare in the name of Jesus that we will not leave here like we came. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Would you stand to your feet for just a moment for the reading of the word? We are in We are in the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 9th verse, King James Version, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I'm going to read it again. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. You may be seated. This is a very interesting scripture when you kind of break it apart. It says, first of all, that Joshua had received an impartation, that there had been a transference of anointing upon Joshua, and it said because Moses had laid his hands on him. Now, there's historical context to this where we realize that God had told Moses to put some of his honor upon Joshua, and it was a preparatory move to prepare the people to be able to receive from Joshua as a leader and not just simply receive from Moses as a leader. So the wisdom that was in Joshua and that spirit of wisdom was imparted to him when Moses had laid his hands on him. Then it says that the children of Israel hearkened unto him. So now the word says that the children of Israel were listening to Joshua, were responding to Joshua, were hearkening and giving attention to the things with a spirit of obedience that as Joshua would lead, Israel would follow. But then the last line, it says, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now we're in this transitional scripture because Deuteronomy precedes the book of Joshua, literally in its context. Are you still with me? Okay, this is just a little history. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy is also a historical accounting of all the different things that God had done previously in the nation of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy and all that's being declared is preparatory to protect Israel from falling in the same trap that the generation before them had fallen into when they were fearful after the report of the 10 spies and ignored the prophetic report of Joshua and Caleb. So Deuteronomy is a history book to Israel to remind them of the mighty things that God had done, to remind them of the law, to remind them of the different things that God had established. Now, Moses had become a recipient of the transfer of wisdom. Wisdom is not intelligence in the sense as we would look at it, or IQ. Wisdom is spiritual judgment. Wisdom is the ability to know what is right, what is wrong, what is proper, and what needs to be done at a certain moment in time. He received this transference from Moses. Then it said that Israel was hearkening unto Joshua. Now what we're seeing here is the bridge that is being created from Moses to Joshua. So now they're listening to Joshua, they're hearkening to Joshua, but they're doing what the Lord had commanded Moses. It almost seems confusing, but yet it's not. Because see, when God establishes the DNA, he established it here for the nation of Israel. He sanctified the nation of Israel. He set them apart. And everything about what Israel became as a people culturally, everything about what they were to be spiritually, everything about what they were to possess in their future, how they were to occupy particular territories of the world, all of that had been pre-established, and God established it on the mountaintop with Moses. Then prophecy began to come forth about the land that they would possess, how they would go in, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Perizzites, all these different nations. Basically, God prophesied You're going to take over this territory. You're going to repossess what truly belonged to your forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You still with me? So now we see that there had been a transference of anointing from Moses to Joshua. Then we see that the people were responding to the anointing that was on Joshua. But the key here is they didn't change or try to change what I would call the DNA of the nation. You don't have to be so quiet. Now, what I want to say to you tonight, number one, and I'm not saying that things like this haven't already been said, but I believe that I'm coming to you from 52 years of ministry and many, many years of being in this house and understanding this house and understanding what was the heartbeat of Pastor Dosik. I'm not here. I was not able to be here for the coronation service a few months ago, but I'm here now. And I believe I'm better able to speak to you right now than I probably would have been able to a few months ago. What I want to say to you is this church has never changed direction, because the DNA of the house was established many years ago. The vision of the house was established many years ago. And I don't say this in a lighthearted way, because sometimes I'd pick on you a little bit. Can you imagine that out of a cornfield in the middle of Ohio, that millions of souls would be saved and multiple nations would be impacted and hundreds of thousands of people would be healed and delivered? It almost seems virtually impossible that the things that have happened, happened. No, really, when you try to put it into perspective, this is not like one of the major cities in the United States. This is not like you're in Los Angeles or Chicago or New York or someplace. You were in people in Ohio, some of them don't know where Bodkins is. But from this almost unknown place on the map, God has impacted nations of the world. A generation of young warriors have been raised up. Men of God have been raised up that are going to the nations of the world and seeing the sick healed and the bound delivered. This nation, to this city, from the north, south, east, and west of it, have communities all around this region have been impacted through television, through radio, through live services, through great, powerful Holy Ghost events. And God has done impossible things from this place. How did all this happen? It happened because a man of God began to seek the face of God, fasted and prayed and had supernatural encounters with God, and really didn't care who said to him, "This is impossible." He just believed that all things were possible. You say, "Well, Pastor Dosik is in heaven now." Yes, I know. But the DNA of Only Believe Ministries did not go to heaven with him. The gifts of God did not go to heaven with him. They don't need healing in heaven. Are you with me? Demons don't need to be cast out in heaven, whether you get it or not. We're not going to have to put up with the junk on earth that we put up with on earth up in heaven. But what remains here, oh, somebody's got to help me. What remains here is the DNA of that anointing. What remains here is the power of healing. What remains here is a worldwide vision. What remains here is an uncompromised message that removes burdens and destroys yokes. So when you stand in this church has not been vacated of the anointing, but the mantle has fallen, and now it is a new season to pick up the mantle, part the waters, and do the things that God is putting before you to do today. Somebody help me. So they did as the Lord commanded Moses, because basically the vision didn't change. There wasn't one thing they did when they crossed over that God hadn't prophesied to them previously that they would do. There was not one acre of ground that they did not possess that God prophesied to them to possess. He told them there's streams, there's rivers, there's orchards, there's vineyards, there's gold mines, silver mines, there's pomegranates, olives, all the different things. All of it was prophesied during the life of Moses. And now Joshua and a new generation is moving in to possess it. Turn the page. Go to the first chapter of Joshua. Now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' his minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I don't want to sound harsh or calloused, but God chose to take Pastor Dosik to heaven. But here's the next words. Now, therefore, arise. Everybody say, now. Therefore, arise. How easy would it be for any of us? Grief is connected to loss. Are you with me? Loss is not necessarily just in the realms of losing a person. And Randy, we're praying for you because, you know, you've had your plate full and then now another loss. And grief and loss are connected. So when you think about grief, you have to think in some way, shape, or form, there's not grief unless there is loss. You could have grief over financial setbacks and maybe you lost a car, you lost a job, or you lost a home. You can have grief over the loss of a marriage. A divorce can be absolutely devastating and shattering to a person's life and puts them into an emotional paralysis for a season. There can be just rifts and divisions in family that cause connections between brothers and sisters or mothers and children or whatever it may be. And then there's that great gap, but bottom line, it's loss. And with loss, there is grief. And with grief can come emotional paralysis. With grief can come a sitting down or a curling up in the fetal position or I don't want to get up, I don't want to go on, I don't want to deal with anything, just leave me alone, I hurt. And there's nothing unusual, when I say unusual, it's a natural or normal reaction to loss. And God gave them this period, I believe it was about 40 days. And I'm not trying to say that's how we have to operate, but there's this period of about 40 days that they grieved over the loss of Moses. You still with me? So here's Joshua, and nobody was closer to Moses than Joshua. And Joshua stayed on the side of the mountain while Moses went up a little higher and was in the Shekinah of God. Joshua stood with him every step of the way. He was like his right hand, as we would say nowadays, like the armor bearer. He was the guy that Moses would turn to in hours of crisis and calamity. And maybe he didn't necessarily seek his advice, but he was close to him and he was a comrade. And Joshua learned everything from Moses. Moses was his spiritual father. And now God looks at Joshua and said, hey, Moses, he's gone. He's dead. Get up. Arise. And cross over. You know, sometimes in the times of the greatest losses is our strategic moment to rise up and go in and possess what God has said is ours for our future. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So now, Joshua has received an impartation. The children of Israel are reacting to Joshua under this anointing. And they're obeying what God had already said. Now, Moses being gone has caused a national trauma because everything about who they are has been connected to the personality and the ministry of Moses. But Moses is gone. What are we going to do? we are facing the opportunity to possess all these prophecies that have been spoken unto us. But how can we do that? And God said, tell them to get up. I'm here to tell all of you, and I think you may have already done it, but I'm here to affirm to you, it's not a time to sit down. It's not a time to curl up. It's not a time to step back. Now is the time to arise. Now think about some things. Think about what's been going on. God supernaturally starts creating a transference onto Nicole and onto Randy. And there's a transference of anointing. And God transfers that anointing, and they begin to step up into a new level of leadership, a new level of authority in the Spirit. And then as they step up in that level that is higher and is stronger and is more powerful and is more mature, you start watching people. People start hearkening, as the old King James would say. They start listening. They start saying, listen, we've been faithful here for years. Some of you have been in every meeting I have ever preached here for 30 plus years. But you're hearkening and you're listening. You're seeing the anointing. You're seeing the hand of God. You're seeing the maturing. You're seeing the equipping. You're seeing the fulfilling of things that were prophesied over them years before. But what's happening? You're moving not in what is some new word, you're moving in the pre-established, God-given genetic DNA of the house that is going to continue to make this church a world-impacting, body-healing, spirit-delivering, soul-saving, prodigal-restoring church that it's always been. This church is not changing. This church is moving in to fulfillment of things that have not yet been fulfilled. The word of God may have come 15 years ago about something, or 20 years ago about something, but if it has not been possessed, then you have to understand, you are going to do what the Lord commanded years ago or decades ago, because God's prophetic promises don't expire. You're in a season of supernatural enlargement, whether you see it or not yet. You are in a season of supernatural enlargement. I'll say it one more time. You are in a season of supernatural enlargement. Now let's go down to the fifth verse. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This is the part I want you to get. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Everybody say, as I was. Say it again, as I was. One more time, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Well, stop and think about that statement. You know, a lot of times we just ski through scripture. Oh, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Think about what that means. Think about what it must have been like to be Moses. Moses experienced things that Abraham never experienced, Isaac didn't experience, Jacob didn't experience. As great and influential as Joseph became, he never experienced. Nobody walked up to a mountain and had a face-to-face conversation with God before Moses. Nobody walked out of a mountain with his face shining with the glory of God before Moses. Moses would throw down a stick and it'd turn into a snake, and he'd pick it back up and it'd turn into a stick. Moses would stretch out his rod over the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted. Moses would throw a branch into poison water and it would become purified. Moses would pray and manna would come down out of heaven. A pillar of fire, a cloud, a cooling, a heating, whatever they needed. Are you saying when Moses hit a rock, water came out of the rock? Stay with me. When his hands went up, the battle went for Israel. When he came down from the mountain, he was armed with 10 commandments. When he came down from the mountain, he had all of the 613 laws that established the culture of the nation of Israel. When he came down out of the presence of God, he had the architectural plans for the tabernacle to establish a system of worship. Aaron didn't establish the system of worship. Moses established the system of worship that was given to him by God. Everything about the sacrifices, everything about tithing, everything about wave offerings and the first fruits and all of these different things, all of this was established. The years of Jubilee, the festivals, the feasts, they all came out of Moses. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What am I getting at? Moses walked into the presence of God, and Joshua knew what it was like to be near him when he was in the presence of God. But now God's saying to him, as I was with him, so I'll be with you. And I'm saying to this house and to Randy and Nicole, as he was with your father, so will he be with you. God didn't take the only believe anointing to heaven, because they don't need that up in heaven. But we need it here. As I was, so I will be. I want you to know, anything that God has prophetically declared over this church has not reached an expiration date. I want you to understand that when you look back in your memories to glorious moments in this church, to where cancers dissolve, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, sinners getting saved, demon possessed getting delivered, people getting transformed by the power of God. Anything that you have seen in the past, get ready, you're going to see it in the future. It's not gone. It's not departed. As he was, so he will be. Now Israel crosses over. You still with me? See, there can't be enlargement and expansion without there being a connection to the presence of God. And so everything that Israel expanded and became as a nation, and everything that they were getting ready to launch into as a nation to fulfill or to possess what God said they could have, was a result of staying connected to the same presence that Moses was connected to. Now, this is more about the presence of God than it is about the person Moses. And God is just trying to show him, listen, I was connected to him, and I'm going to stay connected to you. I hope I'm not boring you. Now, when you go into the writings of the Apostle Luke, let's flip over to the New Testament for just a moment. In Luke, the last chapter of Luke, I think it's the 24th chapter. The last, because this is a Pentecost conference, so I need to say something about all that. Luke, the 24th chapter and the 49th verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, how many have heard this scripture before? Oh, you're not a good Pentecostal person if you haven't read that scripture. Now, there's a lot of the minor prophets you might not have read, but bless God, you better have read this scripture. So, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. In other words, don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. You're not licensed to go anywhere or do anything till you get clothed in the power of God. Now, jump over to the book of Acts, the first chapter. The fourth verse says this: wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus declares this. Jesus at his ascension said, go to Jerusalem, stay there till you get the power. Stay there till you get the power. Until you get clothed with power from on high. So then he goes on and says, wait for the promise. Don't leave Jerusalem till you get the promise. John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Then we go to the eighth verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all of Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's expansion. No, get what I'm saying here. God said, you cannot expand unless you get connected to my presence. Now we have a whole generation of church growth experts now that they don't ever want to talk about being connected to the presence of God, but they have all sorts of strategies and they have all sorts of ideas, but they're building churches through the soulish realm of emotion, through the mind and the mental and the philosophical religious ideologies. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord said there will be no church expansion, there will be no church growth if you do not get connected to the power. What I want to say to you, God wants to bring increase and God wants to bring enlargement into this ministry. And part of the key is the ministry will, but it must stay connected to the power and to the presence of God. Israel could not cross over the Jordan and possess their prophetic expansion unless they stayed connected to the presence that God had brought them to that place through Moses. Now Jesus is saying, okay, for the last 3.5 years, signs, wonders, miracles, all the groundwork was laid. Before me, John was laying groundwork. But I want to say something to you. There's something bigger and something greater that is getting ready to happen. John ministered to the Jews. I ministered primarily to the Jews. But now we're getting ready to expand. But you can't expand without the power. You can't expand without the presence of God. You can't expand without the anointing. And I'm saying to you as a voice that has preached to you for over 3 decades, I want you to hear me. The greatest expansion of your ministry is going to come. And it will come because you stay connected to the presence of God. It will come because you stay connected to the power of God. And the things that I said to Moses is what you're going to continue to walk in. And many things that have been declared over this house prophetically, teaching wise, vision wise, they've not expired. They've not expired. And we, as his people, have to stay connected to the prophecy. We have to stay connected to the vision. We have to stay connected to the purpose. And even though now it's Joshua, not Moses, even though now Nicole and Randy are leading the charge and not Pastor Dosik, does not mean that there's been one thing that God has changed. Are you still with me? And there are things that some of you have got to understand. I believe God planted me in this church, and this is what God's given me passion for. This is what God's given me vision for. This is how I know I'm supposed to rise up and be a blessing to the house of God. These are things that God had prophesied over me. Have those things changed? Have those prophecies been erased? No. It's time for every person that's a part of this ministry to arise. To arise, to arise. And I may be days or weeks or months late in some things, but I believe I'm coming to you with a word. Because I believe that there is something that in our culture and in our society of the church that has been extremely lost. We don't get continuity. How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have your cell phone with you? Well, then lift it up. I want to see it. No. See, good Lord. If I could get a $100 offering out of every cell phone that's lifted up right now. No, just hold it up. Just wave it at me a little bit. If you got it, just want to see it. How many remember that there was a day I could have said that and there might have been a dozen people lift up their flip phone or something? I was talking to Pastor Eric about this when he picked me up at the airport. I said, you remember the old movie called Wall Street? Michael Douglas starred in it. And who was the guy? I can't remember. Sheen, one of the, Charlie Sheen. He was a young guy, and Michael Douglas was the old seasoned stock trader and real estate trader. And I mean, Michael Douglas was like one of the, in this movie, he was so cool. I mean, he had suspenders and tailor-made suits and French cuffs with his beautiful cufflinks. And there was one scene, it was at dawn, and Michael Douglas had walked out to the shore in front of his house. He lived in the Hamptons or something, in a multi-million dollar house. And it's early in the morning, and he calls Charlie Sheen, whatever his name was on the movie, and he calls him from the shoreline on his cell phone, which happened to be about that long and about that thick, and it had a great big huge long antenna. And I'm sitting there in the theater watching this. I said, that dude is so cool. I mean, isn't that the coolest thing you've ever seen? And he's out there in his linen, relaxed slacks, and a linen shirt, and his flip-flops, and his hair blowing in the wind, and he had his cell phone out. And it was about that long and about that wide, and it was cream-colored and had a three-foot antenna on. I thought, oh, God, that is so cool. If I could just be Michael Douglas on Wall Street. If you walked in here tonight with one of those phones, your grandkids would disown you. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? But isn't it amazing? And I can't say this conclusively, but I would presume that there was something in the technology of that great big huge cell phone that Michael Douglas stood and talked to Charlie Sheen on in that movie. There is still probably some technology that was captured in those earliest cell phones that has carried over years and years and years and years later into our smartphones that we all hold up proudly, and we all got to make sure, oh, I've only got a 13, and now there's a 27 out, and I've got to get it. I'm a social outcast unless I've got my proper upgrade. I hate it when they upgrade my phone without my permission. Then I can't find anything the way it used to be. Come on, that shows my age there. Now, I want you to think about this, though. But probably locked into whatever edition. What's the current edition? I knew Eric would know. 15, I thought it was. So in the current 15, there's probably some technology that has carried over from Michael Douglas's 14-pound cell phone. Stay with me. But in the church, we've lost continuity. The automotive industry takes knowledge. They keep building on it. They started out with electric cars, and it was like driving a golf cart. If you wanted to go 12 miles an hour, they had it. But now, these electric cars will go faster than our gasoline-driven cars. Stay with me. But how did these things happen? It was taking and continuing the knowledge. The knowledge in technology, the knowledge in aeroscience, the knowledge in medical science. Are you still with me? And that knowledge is built upon. But the church has lost the power of continuity. It's like when anything changes, I want you to hear me. When anything changes in a lot of groups, it's like, okay, now we stop and we start over. Why? What's the anniversary of the church here now? 42 years. Why stop at 42 years and start over? That seems kind of stupid to me. No, you say for 42 years, for 40 plus years, there was miraculous things that transacted, and we built upon it and built upon it and built upon it. I remember preaching across the road in the little sardine can you guys were in back then, and I preached on the power of the blood. Every one of you need to go get my book on the blood that was written years ago, because it's probably more anointed right now, because it's like fine wine. It's been aging. But stay with me on this. I remember preaching on the blood across the road in that little building. And then I remember preaching with Jerry Seville, who's gone on to be with heaven in heaven, in the first expansion. Then I remember preaching in the second expansion with Oral Roberts. And then I remember preaching here quite a few times. What am I saying? We've been building from strength to strength, from brightness to brightness, from glory to glory. This is not a time to stop and start over. This is a time to just say, as the Lord commanded Moses, so we're going to move forward. What did God say 20 years ago? What did God say 30 years ago? What is yet unfulfilled? Well, if it is, then God wants to bring it to pass. God wants to fulfill it. What is God said to you that you're not doing now that you should be doing, because the word has no expiration date? You're sitting in a miracle ministry. Not just the fact that miracles have happened, but I want to ask you a question. How many of you under the sound of my voice right now, by uplifted hand, and say, at some point over the last few years, God has healed my body in this place or in this ministry? Look at all those hands going up. Physical miracles and healing. How many of you have experienced financial miracles over the last few years? The prosperity, the increase, the blessing, because you were taught to tithe, you were taught to give, to help the gospel to be preached. All those things, as I was, so I will be. So if he healed you in the past, he's going to heal you in the future. If he prospered you in the past, he's going to prosper you in the future. And the Lord just simply said, as I was, so I will be. And what I commanded years back, walk in it. We don't have to stop and start over. To put people to sleep years ago, they used to give them ether. Well, they found out that could get a little risky. But I mean, medical science discovered things. They discovered better ways of doing things. But if we got locked in and say, oh, well, who cares about all that? It's time to stop and just start over. No, it's not time to stop anything. It's time to continue on. It's time to keep moving. It's time to keep building upon. You have a world-class facility. You have miraculous outreaches. I can't even number all the things that your church continues to do in the community that it's been doing for years and years and years. And all the wild, crazy things that God would speak to Brother Dosick about. Say, we're going to do this. And Nicole and Phyllis would look at him like, you are out of your mind. But he'd do it anyway. And great things had happened. People in housing projects getting saved. People that needed food getting fed. People that need to be healed getting healed. Going into nations of the world where nobody would even be sensible enough to go. But old Pete would go. Oh, let's go there. There's no water. There's no heat. There's no cooling. They all crazy out there. That's where I want to go. But that's the kind of things that God put in the DNA of this house. Don't you couldn't tell Pastor Dosick it can't be done. That would make him determined to do it. I tell him sometimes, I had the kind of relationship in the golf cart with him. I said, Pete, you are out of your mind. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You need to go with me. I said, I'm not out of my mind. You may be crazy, but I'm not. Why would I want to leave the good old United States of America with food that I'm not going to get sick on and water that's not going to cause me eternal damage? To go over there. See, he had a passion for these kind of things. I did not. But the truth of the matter was, he put a passion in this church to not say, okay, here we are, and our church building seats more people that's in the community than we're in. What did God do? God put a passion. passion inside of him to say, listen, we can reach the world. We can reach the world from a cornfield in Ohio. Nothing is impossible. That's the DNA of the house. And whatever the enemy says that's impossible, you need to rise up, look the devil straight in the eye and say, that's not what I was taught. I was taught all things are possible. God is the God of the workings of a miracle. So when you receive power, we're going to expand. We're not just going to hit Jerusalem, and we're not just going to hit Judea. Now we're going to hit Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans because the Samaritans primarily were marriages that happened between Jews and Gentiles. But then they got more radical. Now we're going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're going to reach all these heathens. But don't you take one step for expansion without the power. Don't you take one step for expansion without the power. Say it again. Don't you take one step toward expansion without the power. See, I see something incredible that you've got 42 years of the thus saith the Lord, 42 years of a layering effect of glory to glory, 42 years. And in this church is a new generation being raised up, new couples coming into the church, but yet in this church are the oak trees, the 40-year-old oaks, the 35-year-old oaks, the 30-year-old oaks that have grown strong and powerful. It's like we feel like we can't have diversity in our churches. Oh, that's a church full of old people. Or that's just a church full of young couples. No, God wants the church to be diverse. It shouldn't just be a white church or a black church. And if I'm not socially correct, it shouldn't just be a Hispanic church or an Asian church. It should be a church of all peoples and all races and all cultures. And it should not just be a church that men do things in. It should be a church that men and women work together and work in the building of the kingdom of God. It should not just be a church that the people that have monetary means are pivotal in what's going forth. It should be a church that the teenagers are a part of the development. The children are a part of the development. That's the kind of church that God wants to build. And you're building off 42 years. You're building off of experiences that you can look back on and say, man, how do I look at this? Oh, I remember when we hit this rough spot, and I remember when we went through this battle, and I remember when we went through this crisis. I remember we were trying to raise money for that first big crusade. What did we have to do? What did God speak to pastor to do to help get that big project done? How did he go about it? What did he do? Well, he started fasting and started praying. He'd push the plate back. He'd shut the door and we wouldn't see him for a while. Well, I think if it worked for him, it might work for Nicole. I think it would work for Randy. I think it will still work for Pastor Phyllis. It will work for every leader in this church. What am I saying? Instead of abandoning and stopping and starting over, let's build on it. Let's run with it. This is a great season. Say, well, you don't understand. Because, no, I do understand. I lost my best friend. God, over the last months, I've been going through great battles and trials. We had a water line break at our church, and over 65,000 gallons of water poured into our sanctuary and flooded our sanctuary. And I'm battling with insurance. And our reserves got exhausted because I had to keep paying the bills to keep the workers working. And instead of the money coming in that should have been coming in, they want one more bid. They want one more appraisal. They want one more whatever. I just love them. I don't know how many times I just wanted to pick up the phone and say, Pete, let me vent for a few minutes. All right, brother, go ahead. And you just say, well, the devil's a liar. But, you know, don't tell me I lost my best friend. I lost the only person I could really beat at golf. You know, he's leaning over and saying, yeah, sure. Yeah, right. But what I'm saying with this, we've all got to arise. Different relational dynamics, different degrees of loss. But we have to arise. And we have to look and say, man, how would Dad have handled this? You know what got me through pandemic? Is everybody okay? I'm almost done. You know what got me through pandemic? Because a lot of these young hipster preachers, they freaked out during pandemic. And I just looked at it like, oh man, this could be a fun battle. But see, I had a dad that preached through the depression. And he'd tell the stories, you know, son, you know, when I was standing in that soup line with holes in my shoes, no money, and no, my belly was empty, and I'm standing in the soup line, the Lord spoke to me. So what he said, Dad, he said, go and pray and I'll show you how to prosper. My dad took his blanket out into the woods where he went and prayed, and he opened the Bible, and God guided him to the book of Malachi, showed him how he'd rebuke the devourer and open up the floodgates of heaven. And I had a dad that preached during the depression in an old tattered tent, and the offerings were black-eyed peas and chickens. Oh man, we had a good offering. We got a chicken in the offering tonight. It's better than those black-eyed peas. You know, he talked to me about those days, and I'm scratching my head thinking, how did you stay in the ministry? And your the seed that's being sown is black-eyed peas and chicken feathers in an old tent that leaked water in the South. And then on top of that, he had this strange idea that black people ought to be allowed to worship with white people. And so he got black people coming to the tent with the white people. And the white people weren't upset about it. And the black people that were in the tent weren't upset about it. But the KKK didn't like it. And they jumped him and nearly beat him to death with bricks. And he got up bruised and broken and bleeding, went right back to the tent and preached to the black people and preached to the white people. But see, that's the kind of point of reference that I had. And then Eric and I talked about this. And then he preached through World War II. Can you imagine being a pastor and everybody in your church has probably got a loved one overseas and they're not sure if they're going to get a telegram in the mail. Your son has been killed. Your husband has been killed. Are you following? And that's the kind of adversity that he preached in the midst of. The civil unrest of the 60s and all of the different things that followed. And you know what? When pandemic hit, I just felt like, what would Dad do? I'd been in ministry a long time, and I thought, what would Dad do? Well, I knew one thing. Dad would roll up his sleeves, and Dad would say, the devil is a liar, and we're going to get through this, and God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way, and we're not going to shut down the church. We're not going to give up. We're going to believe God, and I just rolled up my sleeves and said, we're going to get through this. Somehow, some way, God's going to make a way. But you know what fueled my faith is knowing that when he had nothing but black-eyed peas and chickens, when he was preaching during World War II, when he was under an old tattered tent with rain falling on his head, when he had old shoes with holes in it, he kept on doing the work of the kingdom. Sometimes you just got to look back a few years and say, what would he have done in similar situations? I'm almost done. I remember prophesying over Pastor Dosik and talking about, you're getting ready to enter into a season and God's going to loose you in signs, wonders, and miracles. God's going to heal the sick through you. God's going to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, and people are going to, they're crippled, they're going to be healed. And he didn't look at me and say, there's no way that can happen. He started praying. He started fasting. And he had a face-to-face visitation from the Lord. And from that day forward, blind eyes started opening. Deaf ears started unstopping. People started getting delivered. Miracles started happening. What would your pastor have done in the midst of a crisis? What would he have done if he had a word from God? How would he navigate through troubled waters? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You never heard about scandals in this church? There may have been some scandals, but it didn't have anything to do with Pastor Dosik. You didn't hear about immorality. Because he lived holy. He couldn't understand how you could preach the gospel and do certain things. He instilled the fear of God in all of us. We'd talk and he'd say, if I did that, God would kill me. And you know, I believed him. And I had a dad that taught me those kind of things. So when I look back, as God was with my father, so he's been with me. Last point. Elijah and Elisha go to Gilgal and Bethel, and they go on to Jordan. If you recall, every time they went to a different school of the prophets, they said, you know, today the Lord is going to take your master from your head. In other words, his covering is going to be taken today. Catch the key word, master. So he walks with Elijah, won't leave him. Here's this word. Today the Lord will take your master from your head. If you missed all the rest of the sermon, just grab this part, okay? They cross over the Jordan. Finally, Elijah looks at Elisha. What do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion. I want expansion. I want a double portion. I want more. He said, all right. If you see me when I'm taken, it shall be so. But if not, it won't be. And we know the story. The chariots of God come and sweep him away, and the mantle falls. But when it's sweeping him away, he doesn't say, my master, my master. He says, my father, my father. I want you to grab this. Masters don't give DNA, only father. And at that moment, the mantle fell. I'm going to say something that you may think is a little crazy, but he picked up the DNA of Elijah. As I was with Elijah, so I will be with you. You've seen it illustrated 1,000 times because you can't be a good Holy Ghost preacher if you don't preach about the double portion at least once in the revival. But bam, he hits the water. But the thing was, now Elijah was not his master. Elijah was his father. And he was holding the DNA of his father. And he hit the Jordan. If I can't do what he just did, then I don't have what he had. And he hit the water and the waters parted. And all of a sudden, those that were watching from afar off came out of the hillside and they bowed down. They bowed down. What do you want us to do? We submit our ministries to you because the spirit of Elijah is on Elisha. Or the DNA of the master is on his son, Elisha. DNA of your dad, your husband, your pastor, my friend, is on all of us. We have all been impacted and had impartation. There's no timing accidents with God. And I'm here at a divinely appointed time. And I want to pray for Randy, and I want to pray for Nicole. Because I believe that God, as we celebrate, as Pastor Eric said, the birthday of the church, even though it's not the actual Pentecost date, but as we're celebrating the birth of the church, we need to be celebrating the birthing of a new season. The prophecies haven't changed. The vision really hasn't changed. There'll be some things done uniquely or differently. The look may get a little different. You change your clothes every now and then. Come on. But as he was, so he will be. And if you two would come forward, Randy dressed up for my service tonight. What's that say? Build?
Yeah, that's what you've been talking about all night.
Okay, I know. Your t-shirt confirms the word.
It does.
I've been praying about this service for days. And I'm going to presume to say something that some people may agree with. But I believe that by virtue of a 3-decade-plus relationship, I have the right to release something for your futures. I have the right, because I've been known for one simple statement for years: you are who God says you are. I remember watching both of you as kids and children, young people grow up, hunger for God. Your ministry starts evolving, developing, becoming the impact that it's made in the children of the church, and then even going overseas into the Crusades and impacting thousands of kids. You have that I dotting, T crossing, articulate, drive everybody crazy kind of thing. But it's an administrative gift to develop order. But it's a new season. And this season means that there are some things you will leave and things you will move into. Things that you have to take your attention away from, that your focus can be on other things, and trust that your transference will work articulately for the future. God spoke to me, said, I am going to bring an impartation. Now, Paul, is everybody all right? Paul said two things to Timothy in the second chapter, in the second book in the first chapter. He said, the faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother is in you. But he said, I put you in remembrance to stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. There has been a impartation that has occurred that has dwelt within both of you for many years. But there is a fresh anointing. There is a picking up of the DNA at another level. There's a grabbing hold of it now, not to say, well, that's what we did and that's how we did it, but now it's a picking of it. We're going to see these things happen. We are going to see the waters part. We are going to see the breakthroughs come. And I want to say to you that are watching online and you that are in the house, it's very, very easy to incarcerate people into a particular time frame. I can tell you what generation people met me in by how they addressed me. when I was a little boy in my dad's church in San Francisco, and I still preach out in San Francisco, but they'll walk up to me because they remember me as HR's son, and they'll call me Brother Timmy. And then I'll meet people that were with my dad in the 1970s, and they'll come up to me and they'll say, Brother Tim. But because they have incarcerated me in a certain particular time zone, do not incarcerate Randy in who he was. Do not incarcerate Nicole in who she was. Let them be who they are today. Receive them for who they are today. They are not the teenagers that some of you remember. They're not the young married couple that some of you remember. They're not the young mom and dad that some of you remember. They are the chosen recipients of a transference of authority and a transference of the supernatural of God to lead this church into the fulfillment of things that has not yet been done. And the moment you release them from who they were, you can receive them for who they are. Oh, somebody needs to give God a shout. Right now, I don't particularly care if you're glad, mad, or indifferent. I came here to deliver some things to you, and it might be the last time you ever see me, because I'll make such a mess, they'll say, we can't have him back anymore. But I'm telling you, one of the key things you've got to take away, loose them from who they were and allow them to be who they are. If you will do that, then you will draw the deeper waters out of both of them. And the Lord would say to thee, that whom to whom much is given, much is required. And I would say even unto thee, that there have been sleepless nights, and there have been restless moments, and there have been great questions concerning the next year, the next 5 years. I say even unto thee, that my plans have been articulately drafted. And the Lord would say to thee that my word declares that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And the ordering of your steps are the architectural steps that I have pre-created, even as an architect would create the house before anything has been dug out of the ground. I say to thee that in thy youth I begin to build the architectural plan. And as you became a couple, I continued to enhance the architectural plan. But I say now to you, in the perfect timetables of God, the house has been erected, the roof is upon it, the walls are in place, everything has been established. Now it is time, saith God. Did I not say to Joshua, rise up, cross over, you and the people. I say to you, you shall arise, you shall cross over, but the people shall arise and cross over with thee. And the Lord would declare even unto thee, be not weary, but rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Be not weary, you shall go from strength to strength. And my son, fears and insecurities shall be buried under the power of the Holy Ghost. All the question marks that you have had shall be dealt with, saith God. But I will say unto thee, you will not look as you have looked. You will not respond as you have responded. You will not move as you have moved. For I would declare unto thee that you are entering into the season that I prophesied over you even in your teenage years. And my daughter, you have feared this day in many ways. My daughter, even years back, when certain things begin to be discussed with thee in private, you were afraid of them, and you prayed, don't let anything happen to my daddy. Because not just because you feared something happening to him, you feared the load that you would have to carry. I say to thee, I didn't call him home one day too late or one day too soon. I called him home in the divinely appointed time, because because you are ready to do all that I've given you to do. I have given you a gracious people in this house. I've given you a people that love you. I've given you a people that are open to what the Spirit would say through you. But I say unto both of thee, now there is an arising, because to whom much is given, much is required. I say unto thee, between now and the end of the year, you will see those that are for you and those that are not for you. You will have to make hard decisions. You will have to make difficult choices. But if you do what I instruct you to do, you shall activate expansion. You shall activate growth. And you shall step into the position empowered to do the things that the Lord has called you to do. I have given you a serious nature, my daughter. I have given you a focused nature. But I say unto thee, there shall be an overflow of the anointing, and you will not be afraid as you have been afraid. Oh, yes, you have concealed it well. Yes, you have not let people see it. But I say to thee, now there shall be nothing to see. For I've given you dunamis, I've given you agape, and I've given you the mind of the Spirit. Lead, my child, saith God, because those that you think you need to hear from, many times you do not need to hear from them. You need to hear from me, and I will guide and order thy steps. Your heart is healing. Your mind is getting clear. The fog is lifting. The peace is coming, and a new anointing, saith God, is upon you from this day forward, saith God. You will not be the same, saith the Lord. And my son, all the things that the enemy has buffeted you with, all of the things, he is the accuser of the brethren. But I say to thee, I've given you a tender heart. I've given you a loving heart. But it's also easy for you to be hurt. But I say to thee, I'm putting the armor on you. I am making you into the warrior you're called to be. And all the questions are going to begin to lift. And you're getting ready to arise. And the enemy will scatter, saith the Lord of hosts. Anointing shall be in your hand. The bound shall be delivered, and miracles shall flow out of thee, saith God. Somebody give God a praise. Come here, Phyllis. This is an unexpected, no way could be prepared for season. Just stay in the anointing with me. I'm going to minister all you tomorrow night. But I got to say something to you. God's not done with you. God's not done with you. You fought through physical hell personally. And then you walk through this difficult journey with Pete. But it's a new day. Now, do I think you're not going to cry or not going to be sad and not going to miss? No. Do I think there's not a change, a repositioning? No, there is. But the two of you built this ministry. The two of you built it. And there's many, many times you and Pete would talk, and this is not stuff you told me. You would talk, and he was being Pete. But many times you would sit down and say, now listen, let's work through this. It's not that you changed what God was saying, but it's you helped him to understand how to better get from point A to point B. And the Lord said, I gave you wisdom to help him, and I've also given you wisdom to help them. And I want the two of you to hear me, that there will be moments in time that she will say to you, I've been praying about this with respect and honor, but I want you to consider A to B to C. or I want you to consider, do you remember how certain things were birthed and established? There's perspective. There's perspective that you have to be open to. And if you, I hope you're all fine, because I really don't care right at the moment, but I just want to act like I do. The more you honor her, the more God will bless this church. No, I'm serious. The more you honor her, and because when you honor her, you're honoring your father, because they were one. He cut out on us, but this was his life partner. And as you honor her, God will speak through her to you, and God will speak to you because that you honor. And you are going to regain some vision, Phyllis. You're going to regain vision because you have a word that's been in you. And I know all the times you taught, all the times you ministered, all the times you filled the pulpit. And I don't know why, but it's like you kind of decided, let me just back up. God said, arise. 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 This isn't a time to back up. This is the most important, as there have been many strategic seasonal junctures in this church. This is the most important season this church has ever stood in its history. And God says nobody understands the DNA of the conception of this ministry better than you do. And you have been fighting through some hard battles. And I'm just not talking about Pete's passing. I'm talking about months and even years before that. And the enemy buffeted you again and again and again. All right, God. And you came from a journey, and God, through faith, raised you up into a person that you had confidence to believe you could do anything through Christ. And then the enemy hit you hard, and it's like you went back in time to how you felt years before. The Lord said, it's time to arise. This church needs you. They don't need you in the same way. No, I want you to hear me. They don't need you the same way they did 20 years ago. But they need you in the unique way that God is preparing to use you. You have a wealth of experience, a wealth of revelation, a wealth of information, a wealth of anointing. And God didn't put it in you to put a cap on it. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. For you to cap what God put in you would be like Pete never praying for the sick. For you to cap what God put in you would be like Pete not preaching on faith. For you to cap what God put on you would be like Pete saying, okay, I'm not going to go preach another crusade. He did everything God gave him to do until the time God called him home. God said, take the cap off, girl. Let it flow out of you like a river. Let the power of God move. There's seasonal shifts. There's changes. But the house needs you, but they need you in a different way. And God said, I will reveal some things to you. And when I do it, it's going to bear witness with those around you. And you're going to begin to flow in the Holy Ghost. You're going to go from strength to strength. Psalms 84, verse 7. From strength to strength. From strength to strength to strength. That's what's getting ready to happen. You're not going to get weaker, you're going to get stronger. Your thoughts are clearing. Your mind is going to get articulate. And the fear is going to break. And the joy is coming back. And I want everybody to stretch your hands this way. I declare a fresh anointing. I declare a stirring of the gifts. I declare a new power and presence of God to be upon her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a shout of victory today. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. I don't mean a golf clap. I mean a real shout. Come on, come on. Let every devil in hell know that the victory is yours and the battle is the Lord's. Glory to God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, As God was, so he will be. I'll say it again. As God was, so he will be. I hope somebody got something out of what I gave you tonight. I preached on the first key to expansion tonight, being connected to the presence. But then I'm going to go deeper tomorrow night, and I'm going to be praying for you tomorrow night and laying hands on you tomorrow night. But how many understand I had an assignment tonight, and I believe I fulfilled that assignment. Oh, come on, let's just give God one more good praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm gonna do something. Eric, do you know how many? Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do this because I want you to get my books, and I also want you to get my wife's magazines. So I don't know how many bundles I've got out there. Do you know, Eric? No, the magazines. Oh, 8 bundles. All right. Here's the deal. If you buy a bundle, I'll give you one of my books. No. If you buy a magazine or buy a bundle of my wife's magazines, I'll give you both my books. All right? Just that simple. Now, if you don't want my wife's magazine, God help you. The judgment of God will come upon you. You'll have flat tires on the way home, and you'll run out of gas with a full tank. But if you will buy, you know, and I think if I'm good enough to give you 2 books, you ought to be good enough to at least get 2 magazines. But if you get one of her magazines, I'll give you my books. Because I want you to get the book on the blood, and I want you to get the book on prophetic promise. But I also want you to get her magazine, because one of the bundles is one of the older editions. It has the interview with your pastor, Phyllis Dosick, in it. And I just want you to have the book, and I want you to have her magazine. So if you'll do that, I know God will bless you for it. Because I'm not really coming in here to market product. I just like to get it to you. Pastor Eric's falling out under the power, saying, oh my God, we brought all these things and I had to bribe security agents and everything else. Now you're giving them away. Well, you gave them away at the airport. You believe he just gave my books away? He never called. He never asked permission. He never said, hey, Pastor, is it all right if I give these people your... No, he just starts handing them out. Here, everybody. I'm teasing you. I want to do something. I'm going to take about 1 minute to do it. I believe I preached, and I'm preaching a revelatory word to you for the future of your life and the future of this church. What do you mean my life? If you're connected to this church, what happens in this house affects your life. I believe it's a new season. And I believe the way the Lord put it, this is the most strategic season in the history of the church. It's more strategic than the dirt floor garage and 6 people in a garage someplace. More strategic than when you built the first addition. More strategic than you built the second. More strategic than when you built. This is the most important season of the history of this church. And everybody's got to step up and say, listen, we're going forward. As God spoke to Moses, we're running with it. I want every person that believes we're in a new season and every person that believes that this is going to be a time of breakthrough for the future that would sow an $88 seed. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Now, I'm not going to get very far, get much done with $8, but if it'll be $88 and all of you will rise up in this, how many believe we can have a great offering tonight and tomorrow night? If you will be one of those people, get up out of your seat and meet me down here right now. I'm going to take about 1 minute to do this, and there better be more people coming than what I see moving, because I could have gone with big numbers, but I felt the Lord wants everybody involved. Oh, they can give on the QR code. Man, that's a good looking picture. Praise God. Come. You don't have to have the offering ready. Just get down here. If you're going to do it, just get down here and you can get the offering ready in a couple minutes. Come on. It's getting close to 9:00 and you all turn into pumpkins and all sorts of strange things if I hold church too late. Praise God. I'm going to take 30 more seconds. Take 30 more. So if you're coming, like I said, you don't have to have the offering ready right now. Just come and give and be ready to give. You can go back and fill out the debit thing or write a check or find $88 in your wife's bill fold or whatever. Thank you. Praise God. Randy, that's so kind of you. Praise God. I don't know where I'm going to set it. Anybody else? Anybody? All hearts clear? Praise God. All of you that are in the audience didn't feel to do this. I know you will do something to be a blessing to this conference. But I want you that are standing here, let's loose our faith. Let's loose our faith. I want you to say this declaration. It is a new season of expansion. It is a new season of growth. It is a new season of enlargement. And I declare the floodgates of heaven are opening on me, my family, and my church in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say something. I've never said this here. There's an amount of financial increase that needs to happen in the ministry. I think it's a number that has either been being prayed about or has been discussed. But there is an amount. I'm not asking you to share with me what it is. The Lord said, watch me. I'm getting ready. Now, you're the accounting brain. Watch from this week forward. God is going to start bringing that numerical financial increase. I declare and I command a blessing upon this church that this resource that they have believed for to continue to enlarge the work of this ministry shall begin to manifest not months from now, but immediately in the name of Jesus. Prosper these people. Prosper their investments. Prosper their careers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want somebody to give God a great praise. If you have your offering ready, you can just lay it on the step. If not, go back to your seat. Prepare your offering. Every person that's giving tonight, if you're writing a check, make it out to Only Believe Ministries. Or they can push give on the QR code and sow a seed and be a blessing. I want everyone to stand to your feet. I don't know who's going to be dismissing tonight, but I'm going to give it either to who's? Eric's going to do it. Eric, if you say Eric, there'll be many people come forward.
Mr. Mayor, it's right here. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed that word from Dr. Bagwell tonight? Amen. Expansion's coming our way. Good things are coming our way. And we just want to say thank you, Dr. Bagwell, for your time. We know you're a busy man. We appreciate you being here, blessing our house and our Pentecost conference. Tomorrow night, everyone say tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Dr. Bagwell will be praying for you specifically, laying hands on you. I know great things are going to happen. So if you would, we'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you for your giving. Let's pray as we dismiss you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone tonight that received that word from Dr. Bagwell. Father, I thank you. Expansion is coming quickly, Lord God. We give you praise for it, God, in our lives, in our church, in our businesses, in our families. We praise you, God, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. God bless you.